Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 348, the stanzas 1-4. With joy and gladness in my soul, I hear the call to prayer. Let us go up to God's own house and bow before him there. And what follows, Psalter 348, the first four stanzas.
Thank you.
Portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Psalm 48. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 48. A song and solemn for the sons of Korah. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great King. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. For lo, the kings were assembled. They passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them there, and pain as of a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever, Selah. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad, because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion, and go round about her, tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks, consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Our Lord of the heavens and of the earth, then we have heard precious things out of thy holy word concerning thy church, concerning the King, concerning thy institutions. And then the psalmist has declared, we have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. Then in this evening hour, in the midst of all the trials of life, we live outside of paradise, and many a troubles as the consequences of sin. Then thou hast left many good things in Israel, and then in this evening hour, when by renewal we may come up to thy temple, may it please thee to grant profound professions of thy goodness, of thy mercy, and of thy long suffering, that we may receive a soft heart and with a desire that thy name may be praised. Then on this Lord's Day, in the church year, it is between the ascension of thy dear Son and the rich outpouring of thy Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And, Lord, then we humbly beg of thee, if it even may be in a small, a little way, that we may be given to resemble that church that was gathered with one accord, with prayer and supplication, with a holy concern for thy church, the coming of thy kingdom, thy glory, and also to receive a further blessing. Ah, Lord, it was given to thy church to pray by the Spirit through thy interceding Son at thy right hand for a richer outpouring of thy Holy Spirit. It was a waiting church that was given to praise and bless thee, but also in prayer and supplication. Lord, may there also be a waiting church amongst us and our children. The psalmist of old has declared, my soul doth wait, I wait upon the Lord, and in his word do I hope. And, Lord, thou knowest for waiting souls, then it can seem so long, can be many fears that it is deceit, afraid that it shall never take place, afraid that they are not one of thine, because otherwise it would be fulfilled. But, Lord, for thy waiting church, then it is also the work of the Spirit to keep thy church at thy footstool, to remain as beggars, with their eyes upon thee, pointing thee to thy own word, when thou wast given a promise. Lord, may it please thee in these dark, evil, and solemn times, where Satan has but a short time, where there are many false Christs, a great falling away for most of the inhabitants of this province, of this country. They have not went up to thy temple today. Many families where thy word has not been opened. Many households where prayer was not made. And, Lord, what maketh us and our children to differ? And thou surely has a purpose therewith. Lord, may that purpose in a richer measure, may it be realized, may it be fulfilled, that many may be gathered by thy free and sovereign grace within the fold of Jesus Christ. Many little lambs born, that the lambs may grow and be led further in the steps of grace. Do bless the manifold means of grace to that end. Help the consistory. Wilt thou grant many Aaron's and hers? Help fathers and mothers in the midst of the family circles to instruct their children in the aforesaid doctrine. Do bless our Christian school. 'Tis the last month. The end is drawn nigh, O Lord. May it please thee to spare in the remainder of this year where thou hast spoken in such a solemn way with 3 students, 3 empty places. May the solemn callings be sanctified. Continue to grant traveling mercies. And when thy word may be opened, make it a blessing for young and old. We commend our denomination unto thee. A special week. May it be carried upon the wings of prayer, where the curatorium hopes to meet. Help the instructors and the student with the examination. And wilt thou also grant on that day a mouth to speak, ears to hear, hearts to perceive, and may it please thee to gladden the denomination. The mission board also hopes to gather. Wilt thou grant wisdom and discretion, and also other committees, wilt thou grant what is necessary. We commend unto thee our mission field, all the separate places. Wilt thou remember our branch, richly bless thy word, return the elders safely home. We commend unto thee the persecuted church, the beloved for the Father's sake. We commend unto thee a young couple who soon hope to be united in holy matrimony. Ah, Lord, grant them a place at thy footstool where they may humbly ask thee that it may be a marriage not only in thy providence, but in thy special favor, and that thy presence may be experienced. wilt thou remember all of our young people, those that are single who have not received the desire of their heart to meet one under the truth, with whom, when thou granted it, they may walk life's journey together as husband and wife. We remember all the mourning ones, widowers, widows, half orphans, those that have brought children and other dear ones to the grave. O Lord, thou knowest how empty those places are. Wilt thou uphold, wilt thou comfort, wilt thou encourage, and above all, wilt thou sanctify. We remember all the sick and the afflicted, also the sickness that is making its rounds. Wilt thou uphold, wilt thou remember, and under sickness, that there may be given many thoughts of thee, of our sins, of death and eternity, and our Lord, that it may be used for the coming of thy kingdom. Remember all under the physician's care, those taking treatments, those that have many fears and concerns. May the means be blessed. Remember the handicapped ones, the crosses and the burdens. Remember those that struggle with difficulties and weakness of the mind, where there are times that it can seem so black and so impossible, Lord. Wilt thou spread thy gracious wings over them? May they be given to often bow their knees and open thy word and remember all those that are near and dear unto them. Remember land and country. And now, Lord, we humbly ask thee for the opening of thy word and a blessing upon thy word. Do go from bench to bench, from heart to heart, and from dwelling to dwelling. May it be experienced thy special blessing and favor. And, Lord, what greater tokens can thou grant when it may be heard that sons and daughters may be born in Zion, and when thou granteth unto thy church, as it was in the church of the New Testament, the leadings concerning a triune God, wilt thou graciously take away everything that could be a hindrance, bind the devil fast, give a little rest in thy house, and pardon us of all of our transgressions. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 134, the three stanzas. Within thy temple, Lord, in that most holy place, we on thy loving kindness dwell, the wonders of thy grace, and what follows. Psalter 134, the three stanzas. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 20, the question and answers 54, 55, and 56. Question 54, what believest thou concerning the Holy Catholic Church of Christ? Answer, that the Son of God from the beginning to the end of the world gathers, defends, and preserves to himself by his Spirit and Word out of the whole human race a church chosen to everlasting life, agreeing in true faith, and that I am and forever shall remain a living member thereof. Question 55, what do you understand by the communion of saints? Answer, first, that all and everyone who believes, being members of Christ, are in common partakers of him and of all his riches and gifts. Secondly, that everyone must know it to be his duty readily and cheerfully to employ his gifts for the advantage and salvation of other members. Question 56. What believest thou concerning the forgiveness of sins? Answer, that God, for the sake of Christ's satisfaction, will no more remember my sins, neither my corrupt nature, against which I have to struggle all my life long, but will graciously impute to me the righteousness of Christ, that I may never be condemned before the tribunal of God. Lord's Day 21 speaks of the Holy Catholic Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, with four thoughts. In the first place, the described church. Secondly, the ingathered church. Thirdly, the communal church. And in the fourth place, the forgiven church. The Holy Catholic Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the described church, the ingathered church, the communal church, and the forgiven church. Beloved congregation, 'tis in the Lord's providence that on this Lord's Day that we are called upon to speak about the Church of Jesus Christ. And then what a fitting Lord's Day for the Lord's Day, between the ascension of Christ and the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit would be poured out so richly. And then we read of that gathered church in that upper room in Acts 1, the verses 13 and 14, that they were in one accord in prayer and in supplication. We have heard it on Ascension Day, and that the disciples, after Christ has ascended, and that they worshipped, and that they returned to Jerusalem, praising and blessing the Lord, and they continued in the temple. And now that gathered church, they were exercised with a special matter, and that was such a precious matter, and that was concerning the promise which they have received concerning the Holy Ghost, that he would be poured out not many days hence. And then we know that they have waited certain days, and the Lord has a people for whom that waiting is not a strange matter, and that is not a passive matter, but that is an act of faith exercised with what the Lord has told. And maybe a few souls in my midst that are thinking, had I but such a precious promise, then I would be so happy, and then I would simply wait for it till it was the Lord's time and the Lord's way. And in the time of that waiting, the true child of God learns many a lesson. Oh, may that waiting church, may that be an encouragement for people of God that are awaiting. Because they read in Titus 1 verse 2, spoken by a God that cannot lie, and that all the promises of God are yea and amen. Thus that gathered church that was busy with the coming of the kingdom of Jesus Christ and the glory of his name, young and old. Are there those exercises even in a little way, a matter bound upon the heart? Fellow travelers traveling to a never-ending eternity, and there is haste necessary. Ah, we know our fall has been very deep indeed, not able and not willing, but the free and sovereign grace of God. Oh, do I not read in Isaiah 43 verse 13, I, the Lord, will work, and who shall let it? May the prayers be multiplied, of course, true prayer, but may we be given even to pray with our lips and humbly beg the Lord for a richer outpouring of his Holy Spirit, that many sons and daughters may be born in Zion, and the further leadings in the life of God's people. Oh, that tender, that dependent life, living out of Christ, to be administered out of heaven, and to receive grace for grace. And now this Lord's Day 20, that was speaking of God the Holy Ghost. And now in this Lord's Day, the work of the Holy Ghost to gather his church. And then this Lord's Day that speaks of the Articles 9 and 10 of the Apostles' Creed. And now in this article, it is worded different than former articles. In the former articles, then it is written, I believe in God the Father, in God the Son, in God the Holy Ghost. But in this article it is written, I believe, and that means it exists, an institution of Jesus Christ, where he has promised in a special way to gather, defend, and preserve his church, because the church in itself cannot save us. And now the church in the scriptures, that is called by many names, in Psalm 89, the congregation of saints, in John 10, it speaks of a fold, the good shepherd and the sheep. Oh, my unconverted fellow travelers, may you be aroused to a holy jealousy. May the prayers be multiplied that that good and great shepherd by his spirit, that he may make you a little lamb, desiring the sincere milk of the word, and also in the further leadings to need that strong meat. Oh, blessed that people that may be in that fold. And I read in John 10, verse 16, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Called the building and the temple, in 1 Peter 2, in Acts 20, verse 28, the church of God, in the Song of Solomon, the church is called the bride of the bridegroom. And now concerning that church, then it is called the holy church. No, not of themselves. If you now ask that true church whether they are holy, oh, if you ask them whether that is their desire, then they do not have to think, because they have received that love shed abroad in the heart for the Lord and everything that pertains to the Lord. And when the Lord converts his congregation, then what is striving there shall be to appear holy before the Lord, because the Spirit teaches his children that sin causes separation. And for the child of God, the closer that they may live to the King and to the Word, the more they are given to see how unlike they are the bridegroom. Nevertheless, called a holy church, no, not in themselves, but through Jesus Christ. And to that end, the bride in the Song of Solomon, oh, she has confessed in chapter 1, verse 5, I am black, but she was also white, and that was in another. Then it is, the church is also called the Catholic Church. And then, boys and girls, then we must not think of the Roman Catholic Church, but Catholic, that means universal, worldwide, that the Lord Jesus Christ has his people, all places where law and gospel may be proclaimed, as we have heard out of Luke 24, verse 47, and that repentance and remission of sins must be preached to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. Oh, the Apostle John on the island Patmos, he was persecuted, banished from his congregation. But then in a vision he has seen the heavens opened, and there he has seen a great multitude from all people and tongues, all young and old. Shall we be among them? may he ask you, are you among them? Do you have a good hope that the Lord has begun that good work in your hearts with those new desires and with those new longings? And God's true people, they shall find their life declared in the Word of God. And it is the Spirit's work to lead them to a saving knowledge of the Son of God. And now Guido de Brie, he is given this explanation of the true church in Article 27, a holy congregation of true believers, all expecting their salvation in Jesus Christ, being washed by his blood, sanctified and sealed by the Holy Ghost. And then in Article 28, that no person of whatsoever state or condition he may be ought to withdraw himself to live in a separate state from it. Then concerning that church, it is one church. The Song of Solomon 6, verse 9, my undefiled is one. But that church, that consists of two parts. The militant church, that means boys and girls, that a church that is at war with that triple-headed enemy, that is the church here below. And it continues a militant church till the day of their death. And the other part, they are in heaven with their souls, rejoicing before the throne. Then further, then sometime when we speak of the church, then we speak in its manifestation of a visible church. That is the external administration of the covenant of grace. And as the congregation may gather together to worship. And that is a great privilege and a great blessing. If we would try to find out in Canada in this day how many people have gone twice to church, then the number would not be so great. Oh, alas, alas. We live in serious and dark times. In earlier days, then each town had a church with a steeple. And in Roman Catholic countries, in the city of Santa Cruz, right in the middle of the church of the city, there is a very large, fabulous church. Of course, deceitful and wrong doctrine. Nevertheless, the church is a central place in the olden days in the lives of the inhabitants. Is that also with us? That the church has a very special an important place in our life and in our hearts. Boys and girls, do you like going to church? Do you ask the Lord for a new heart, a privilege and a blessing? And the Lord has promised in his word. It was so in the Old Testament under that external administration of the covenant. The Lord is wrought with the Spirit. It is true. A few have come from the outside. a Rahab, a Ruth, and different ones. And so it is also in the New Testament. And the Lord has promised in Isaiah 55, verse 11, that his word shall not return void unto him. And in Ezekiel 36, verse 37, I will be inquired of the house of Israel to do it for them. Then we also use the term, thus the visible church, that is what we can see. The external administration and a great blessing, when the church may be as a reed in Matthew 5, the verses 13 through 16, as the salt and the light, that it can be seen by the world. It is a people where the Bible has a central and a precious place. When we speak of the invisible church, that is the work of the Spirit in the heart of the people of God. I read in John 3, verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but thou canst tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. But not to misuse that term, because the work of the Lord cannot remain hidden. It's true in Psalm 83. We read of those hidden ones. And in the beginning, there can be so many questions and so many riddles that we try to keep it hidden as far as possible. But Christ, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, by their fruits ye shall know them. And now we read that the Son of God, from the beginning to the end of the world, gathers and defends and preserves to himself by his Spirit and word out of the whole human race a church chosen to everlasting life. Thus that speaks of predestination, that the Lord has chosen a people from eternity that shall be saved. And young and old, what a stumbling block that can be. All had her questions. Maybe there are souls struggling at the moment. And many times think, and can be when the Lord begins that work, how they can be assaulted. Concerning that election of God, it is so sovereign, not upon foreseen faith, that the Lord has seen from eternity who would believe and those he has chosen. No, sovereign, unchangeable, a personal, and how there can be those struggles if I am not a chosen one. Then I can come so faithfully to church, always read my Bible, pray much, shed many tears, and I shall still be lost. Are there souls that are perhaps struggling with that matter? Then let me ask you two questions. In the first place, what do you deserve? And in the second place, if there was now no election, if the Lord the Father had not chosen a people to life through his dear Son, who would be gathered by the Holy Spirit, then what would be our hope? Then there would be no hope. Then we could immediately go home, and we would know with certainty where we would spend eternity. But because there is an election, then it is possible for us and our children, and to that end Christ is gathering his church. And then we always do well to remember that text, Deuteronomy 29, verse 29. The secret things belong to the Lord, but those things that are revealed for us and our children, and that we may do them. Thus then we must realize that the Lord has decreed from eternity not only the end, but also the means. And the Lord has given the means of grace and promised that the Lord shall bless those means of grace for the saving of his church. And to that end congregation, let us not separate what the Lord has joined together, and to be given to faithfully use the means of grace, and may the prayers be multiplied. Oh, as with that church in that upper room, prayer and supplication, and then on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 were converted. Our second thought, the ingathered church, that the Son of God from the beginning to the end of the world. So there lies the hope. The end of the world has not come, boys and girls. When the last boy or girl, man or woman, shall be converted, then immediately Christ shall appear on the clouds of heaven upon the great white throne. That means that there are still those that must and shall be gathered, and by renewal. Oh, may we be more a praying and a begging people. People of God, may the souls of our fellow man, may they weigh heavier and heavier upon our hearts. And may it please the King to grant a spirit of prayer and of supplication. Oh, what a privilege. What a blessing. I have read of the son-in-law of John Knox, Reverend Welsh, that he spent many an hours in the night watches upon his knees, a weeping, and that his wife has asked for the cause, and then he was given to state 3,000 souls and trusted unto them him, and with many it was not yet well, that the Son of God from the beginning, first ones were Adam and Eve, and in Genesis 3, there we read how the Lord converts his people. Oh, the Lord has given his precious word to describe the marks and the life of the true people of God, and there are times, oh, it is true. Many times that people is given to write bitter things against themselves. Many times they are given to exclude themselves, but there shall be times when the word of God may be expounded that the Lord includes them. In the nominal Christendom, the word of God excludes them, but sooner or later they include themselves. And now concerning that gathering, the Lord is so free, it is true. The same teacher, the Holy Spirit, the same textbooks, and the ways can be so different. Could use the example of a tree, many leaves, not one leaf is exactly alike, but they are still very similar, the same tree and the same kind. Sometime, very extraordinary ways, Luke 15, although young people remember, only one parable of the prodigal son. The Lord is free. There's not an ordinary way when we are brought up under the truth. And it is true, many autobiographies, conversion stories, then there are many remarkable conversions in very remarkable ways, but those are the exceptions. Let us always remember, young people, when we are brought up under the truth, a baptized forehead, then the Lord shall keep us under that truth, and that he shall bless the means of grace for our conversion. It is true, we shall learn the same matters, misery, deliverance, and gratitude. The Lord is so free. For the one, the goodness of the Lord, and that we become so jealous of that people, and we are given to see what we miss, that we are lost. For another one, a special calling, a death, a serious accident. For another one, it can be an earthquake, as with the jailer in Acts 16. For another one, a great affliction, that wicked Manasseh in prison, he knew that the Lord was God. For many, simply to be under the word in God's house, in school, our personal devotions, and that the Lord blesses his word does not mean that everyone knows the exact time when the Lord has converted them. Nevertheless, it shall all become different, shall become evident. Then we shall become a seeker. We shall experience what a poor and lost sinner that we are, and that we can never save ourselves. The Son of God, he gathers his church. Is that not taking place? Boys and girls, have you now received a new heart from the Lord? That's the most important. what is a new heart? Then you understand that we do not go to the doctor, to the hospital. But then we receive a heart that loves the Lord, and everything that is related, connected to the Lord, that we hate sin, and a need to be washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the happiest boys and girls. And boys and girls, ask much that you may receive a new heart early. Oh, for the youth, that precious choice of a Ruth. And the Lord is so free. Can also be for the middle-aged, when they have gained much of this world, then they are given to experience the emptiness thereof, and the Spirit shows them with everything that they have gained, that they are so wretched upon the earth, because they have a soul that is unsaved, can take nothing along, and the end shall be hell. Oh, by renewal, a fitting Lord's Day. For the Lord's Day between Ascension and Pentecost, the church learns. They can try to bind a matter upon their hearts, but then it shall soon fade away. And it can be feeling and emotion, but now when it pleases the Spirit to bind the matter upon the heart, then it shall remain, and then the Spirit shall grant those blessed exercises and also the perseverance. But not only gathers, oh, a free willer, those that say they can believe themselves, of course, they must also keep that faith, and they must keep themselves in the covenant. Oh, the precious doctrines of grace. He gathers, defends. We have mentioned a church militant, and preserves to himself by his Spirit and Word that church, all agreeing in true faith, does not appease at the expense of the truth. We live in a day that many churches are seeking reconciliation, but at the expense of the truth, then there is better a holy war than a false peace. But now the church bound together, agreeing in true faith, we read in Jeremiah 6, verse 16, of those old paths, and that I am, and forever shall remain. John 10, verse 28, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no man shall pluck them out of my hand. Let us first sing of that unity of the church of Psalter 449, the two stanzas. Behold, how good, how pleasant is the union when brethren in the Lord have sweet communion. And what follows, Psalter 449, the two stanzas. The Holy Catholic Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the described church, the ingathered church, and now thirdly, the communal church, agreeing in true faith and concerning the unity of the church, that is concerning doctrine and concerning walk. And they must both be according to this word. And when they are not according to this word, then the one must give at the expense of the other. And to that end, as a people, may we continually honest search the word of God, ask the Lord to give that we may walk according to that word, and that that word may be blessed for our salvation. And now when it speaks about the communion of saints, then the answer consists of two parts. And the first, and that is necessary because for many churches in our day, when we speak of that communion, then it has become more a social society where there is coming together, much helping one another, which is all right and commanded, much fundraising for profitable causes, but the preaching of law and gospel, that is pushed more and more in the background. And the people do not hear of that one thing needful, that they need to be born again, but the church has taken up with social activities, all good Christians who believe that they are going to heaven. And to that end, our instructors, then they have first, that all and everyone who believes being members of Christ. And the Lord has a people. When the Lord begins, that becomes now the question. Spirit grants that hope. May experience much of the Lord. Hear their hearts declared, but they need to be a member of Christ. They need to receive the pardoning of sins. They need to come to a knowledge of the pearl of great price, of him who was white and ruddy and the chiefest among 10,000s, are in common partakers of him and of all his riches and gifts. Thus in order, partakers of him, they have become a lamb of the great shepherd, the bride of the great bridegroom, have been chosen to eternal life, and all the riches and benefits, also faith, hope, and love, they all come from him. How is it now experienced? We read that the instructors, partakers of him, with each time by renewal, it is the desire of the instructors of the Heidelberg Catechism to glorify free and sovereign grace, that salvation comes from heaven to earth and it does not climb from earth to heaven. Thus it is only through Christ that the Lord can have communion with the sinner. But now in the way of experience, when the Lord begins, we have the beautiful example of Ruth. She has come on the fields of Boaz, and there she was given to glean with such delight, with the thought that in the evening she may return to her mother-in-law and show those precious gifts. It is true, she has heard she was on the field of Boaz, but it is clear she did not understand the kinsmanship. Because when Nehemiah, then you can understand, and what a joy it is for the church when there may be such souls, those seeking souls, when they may be given to glean, when they have made that good choice. And then Nehemiah said he is one of our kinsmen, but Ruth did not go into it. He has said, I may remain on the field. Thus, when the Lord begins, what precious gifts that the child of God experiences. They are sweeter than all the things of the world. And then the sinful things of the world, there shall be a hating and fleeing. And then such a soul, they may rejoice in the night watches, they may be given to praise the Lord for his wonderful riches and gifts. But now it is necessary that they are led further and that they come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now secondly, that everyone must know it to be his duty readily and cheerfully. And of course, that includes the whole congregation. And a blessing it is when there is so much love, so much compassion, and so much help that binds together. Nevertheless, the instructors are honest. Everyone must know it is duty. We can be so taken up a self readily and cheerfully. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, for God loveth a cheerful giver to employ his gifts. And then two matters, for the advantage, also outward advantage, blessing when we may help the needy, can be in so many different ways, experienced in the congregation, what a blessing it is, when there may be love and unity, and then of course in the context. My unconverted fellow travelers, do you sometimes now think, Lord, I may be a hand and a foot to my fellow man. I may do it readily. I may do it cheerfully. But Lord, I need to be one of thine. And now two purposes. First, for the advantage, but secondly, and salvation of other members. Our third thought, the forgiveness of sins. In this Lord's Day, it speaks of the benefits which Christ has merited for his church. And in Lord's Day 23, we hope to hear of the prophet of faith, and that is to receive the pardoning of sin. Thus we shall only read the answer once more, that God, for the sake of Christ's satisfaction, will no more remember my sins, neither my corrupt nature. It's not become a Pharisee. Then we read that the instructors were deeply exercised concerning the things of the Lord, against which you have to strive all my life long, but will graciously impute to me the righteousness of Christ, that I may never be condemned before the tribunal of God, a member of the living church. And then we shall close by repeating with a public confession of faith. Do you remember some of those points that we have mentioned? We shall mention them before. What is now necessary? In the first place, to be praying members. In the second place, reflective members of the Word of God. The third place, attentive members, listening what we may hear out of the Word. And the fourth, concerned. Ah, that God's house, that the church, that it is so dear to us, lies so close to our heart with the desire that we may be a people where God's Word has a central place. In the fifth place, helpful members. Sixthly, united. The seventh place, warring. In the eighth place, faithful. And then the last point, a living member of the living church of the living King. Thus, not to be dead members, not to be unprofitable members. John Calvin speaks of rotten members that infect other members, not to be hurtful members, as Achan. May it please the Lord to grant a little of that church in the upper room, also concerning the meetings that are to be held in Grand Rapids in our denomination, and concerning the true church that Moses has sung in Deuteronomy 32, verse 29, "Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, saved by the Lord." And we have heard from Psalm 48 concerning the church, who by true saving faith, for this God is our God forever and ever, he will be our guide even unto death. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may humbly thank thee for another Lord's Day, and yet some words to speak. And may it be our portion, the portion for us and our children. Oh, Lord, may it please thee to convert the unconverted. Where thou hast begun, grant the further leadings, that they may be given to find the pearl of great price. Lead thy children further in the mysteries of salvation. And, Lord, may in this week, even in a small way, among our boys and girls, our youth, the older ones, that we may be on our knees and humbly beg thee for thy blessing, that thou may remember us and our children with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. We may commence another week. Lord, wilt thou remember the mothers in the home with the children, the daytime, the night watches? Wilt thou remember at school, remember at work, remember on the way, where also many are called upon to travel for a funeral? Wilt thou remember that family circle? Lord, wilt thou keep us from harm and danger? Keep us under thy kind care and good protection. Keep us from sin and temptation. Wilt thou now bring us safely to our homes, and wilt thou also grant traveling mercies to all those that are called to travel for the meetings and return safely home. Pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 238, the stanzas 1 and 3. As Zion founded on the mountains, God thy Maker loves thee well. He has chosen thee most precious, he delights in thee to dwell. And what follows, 238, 1 and 3. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.